Transform your health with the power of light. Introducing the future of natural healing. Backed by years of research and testimonials from health professionals, our quantum energy infrared light harnesses the scientifically proven benefits of red and infrared light therapy. Designed for those who value holistic health practices, our device offers a non-invasive, drug-free method to support your body's natural healing processes. Visit QEstrong.com now to discover how quantum energy can revolutionize your health routine. Experience deeper sleep, enhanced muscle recovery, reduced inflammation, and improved skin health, all with just a few minutes of use each day. Join the thousands who have already discovered the life-changing benefits of quantum energy.
Unlock the healing power of light. Visit QEstrong.com and enter code B2T at checkout to get your quantum energy infrared light today.
I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Many mighty warriors will be joining you soon. Yes, those in the body of Christ will be waking up and submitting to the Lord, letting them yoke you, and they'll be joining the remnant. So that is what I heard on the Alone Time with God blog on Friday, November 8th, 2024. And the title is Many Mighty Warriors Will Be Joining You Soon. And I said, thank you, Lord. Anything else you would like to share with me and your children? Yes, I want all my children to realize the change in direction America and the rest of the world will be going now. This will be nothing like the first term of Trump and will be a mighty turn from dark to light. However, be prepared for major events that look like the enemy is in control and that Trump and his team will fail. As long as they turn to me and seek my wisdom, the enemy's plans will not succeed. Remember, I discipline all the children I love. And this restoration process will be painful and require me to let the enemy appear to take ground at times. This is part of the process. Just like childbirth is not comfortable, it leads to a great reward. And this process will be rocky, but it leads to a great reward, not just for my America, but also for Israel. And when the leaders of America are listening to me, then you will see great blessings to other countries all around the world. Rick keeps talking about and thinking about the election machines. Yes, they will be exposed across the world as a key the enemy was using in an attempt to control the entire world. But these are not the only machines and systems I will be exposing, as there are many that are being used for evil against my children. These secret dark room systems will be exposed soon, so that I can empower my children to take back their countries and institutions. Prepare, my children, prepare. Prepare to be the light in your sphere of influence. As times look dark and people start moving into fear, show them your faith, show them your love, and show them the authority that you and others have in me. Use the name above all names to speak Jesus over all the nations, over all your circumstances, over all parts of your personal life. The name above all names is what will destroy strongholds against you, so you have nothing to fear. You can cast out fear with perfect love, the love of the Father. Speak to me often. Listen to me often with your renewed mind. that has my word in your heart and on your lips. Mighty warriors you will be, and many mighty warriors will be joining you soon.
Discover more with Rick at morewithrick.com.
Anything else you would like to share with me and your children? Yes, I want all my children to realize the change in direction America and the rest of the world will be going now. This will be nothing like the first term of Trump and will be a mighty turn from dark to light. However, be prepared for major events that look like the enemy is in control and that Trump and his team will fail. As long as they turn to me and seek my wisdom, the enemy's plans will not succeed. Remember, I discipline all the children I love, and this restoration process will be painful and require me to let the enemy appear to take ground at times. This is part of the process. Just like childbirth is not comfortable, it leads to a great reward, and this process will be rocky. But it leads to a great reward, not just for my America, but also for Israel.
Discover more with Rick at morewithrick.com.
Transformational power, that's what the Lord is offering you. He's looking for more children to use his transformational power during these times. That's what I heard on my Alone Time with God blog on Sunday, November 10th, 2024. Again, the title is Transformational Power. And I asked, Lord, how are you tonight? I am well and seeing the heavens being opened up through the power and authority I have given my children all over the world. Please understand that there are many things that I will decree and supernaturally handle primarily on my own, but I prefer to use my army angels and my remnant. My remnant is growing significantly as more of my children spend time truly seeking my face and desiring my presence. Are you seeking this? I'm looking for more of my children to understand that my transformational power is available to them if they spend time with me and my word, if they pursue a personal relationship with me and listen to me. Who could be better to guide for you? The creator of the universe or your own intellect? Yes, my personal guidance is available to all of you. And this guidance is not just a general list of rules and morals, but it is a deep relationship with me, where you are mine and I am yours. I have a deep desire for a personal relationship with you where we commune together often. Do you have this desire for me? If so, then mighty will be your works. You will see miracles flow through you. All I need you to do is to desire this deep relationship, spend time with me and my word, and seek my face. Become hungry for the word and for this relationship. Listen to me and record what I'm saying. This is the key for you to operate with authority over all the power of the enemy. You will tread on scorpions, which are often infirmities in your own body and others, and over serpents, which are often demons that try to take you off your path. You will be able to free yourself and others from these spirits and from these infirmities. Why? Because you have authority over them in my name. If you are really seeking me, then you will allow me to yoke you and send you to strongholds I have assigned to you. Do not try to do this in your own power and without spending time with me to understand the path I have for you. Too many of my children read and study my word, but then do not come to me for distractions. I have rhema words for each of you. Write down what I am saying. Some will give dreams and visions. All of you, I will give you experiences, natural and spiritual, to train you up. This is the spiritual maturity I need each of you in my remnant to live, learn, and come back to me to confirm your direction day by day. For those of you not in my remnant, who have me as a low priority and have not allowed me to yoke you, listen, these are words to you right now. Your salvation is not enough for you to be used in mighty ways for my kingdom. Is that not what you want? If so, start acting like it. As you get my words into your heart, understand that those words are living and active, and prepare your heart and mind to be in my presence and hear from me. Put me as number one in your life and do the things I discuss above to develop that deep personal relationship with me. Time is short and I'll be moving on. Will you join me in my remnant and my angel armies? You will not regret it, but it's your choice. This is the key for you to operate with authority over all the power of the enemy. You will tread on scorpions, which are often infirmities in your own body and others, and over serpents, which are often demons that try to take you off your path. You will be able to free yourself and others from these spirits and from these infirmities. Why? Because you have authority over them in my name.
Discover more with Rick at morewithrick.com.
Where we're going to day four. And the devotional here is going to be at right out of Psalm 119. And this is going to be called In Awe of God's Word. So this is day four. This would be like what somebody would do if they were doing their reading plans with us. So they have 7 days in the general plan that amplifies the reading guide, right? And we have another 7 days on the first body, body one, if you will, right? That has to do with pain, has to do with just afflictions, a lot of those type of things. Then here's the 7 days one on the mind. I'm going to go back into a body one, and we're going to continue to do these to really get into the detail of what these powerful scriptures are and how what the context around them are. So this first part is what would be part of the reading plan. It would just say, it would have a declaration, an intention, and a Bible verse. So this is what a person would say, this top part in a reading guide for the mind, right? It says, as I search your word for the answers and direction for my life, I feel your settling presence and reassurance bring me a calming peace. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. And then it has a prayer. It says, Father, I am in awe of your love and love your word. I search it so I will not stumble. And through your word, I have great peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. So that's something obviously you can do in less than a minute. Maybe meditate on that, right? Do that each day. Speak it out loud. And in addition of taking the capsules with the seven biblical ingredients, etc., we're seeing great, great success and getting a lot of incredible testimonies. Now we're going to go into the context of Psalm 119, 165 about a great peace and loving basically the Word of God, His laws, right? And that nothing can make them stumble. The context of this, for the full context of verse 165, we need to review the seven verses from 161 to 168. So 165 is right in the center there, which is sometimes summarized as in awe of God's word. Most of this psalm is based on prayers, but this section of the scripture directs our focus on his word. And the first verse emphasizes this, and that's Psalm 119, 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. So we can infer from that, in order to have great peace and not stumble, as promised in verse 165, we need to be in awe and rejoice and love his word and his laws and his rules. We also should praise him for giving us his word. This type of reverence and gratefulness allows us the benefits of never stumbling and having great peace. Don't we want that? Don't you want your life to have never stumble and have great peace? And no matter what's going on in your life, this type of reverence and gratefulness allows us the benefits of never stumbling and having great peace. The last few verses end with hope and some declarations. Hope in the Lord's salvation and commitment to do his commandments. Love for his testimonies and promises to keep his precepts. The key to this is to revere God's word and obey them. And Paul discusses this in Colossians. I love Colossians 3:16, another one of my memory verses. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's beautiful. I'm going to read that one more time, guys. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. We should let the words dwell in us. We should teach his words, sing about his words all with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Join us where we do this 4 days a week on Rumble at the Blessed Teach Show. And that's right here. You're listening to it, right? We're about ready to do that after this teaching. Get into this beautiful praising, singing His words, and we're going to be doing that. But let's read this full context of these seven verses here in the ESV. Here it is. It's Psalm 119, 116, and 115. And it's in this sin and sin area of 119. If you read Psalm 119, it's just beautiful. It's long, obviously. We're in verses 161 through 168. Obviously, 119, 105 is your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? This is in the same area. But let's read this. It says, "Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, and I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for righteous rules." 7 times sometimes just means constantly. You're constantly praising God for his word, right? "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you."
Is that not true?
All what we do, it's all before God anyway. Right? So if we want what this verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, love your word. Nothing can make them stumble." That promise is all baked in around the awe of his word. And that's what we're studying here. So let's end it with a devotional. And we'll read this devotional, which kind of just summarizes these verses and then ends with a declaration and a prayer. It says, "Many of us feel prosecuted without cause, and some of this may even come from government institutions. But this psalm encourages us to change our mindset and declare, 'My heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil.' And although we hate and abhor falsehoods, we can still say, 'I love your law. I love the word of God. I praise for your righteous rules and guidance.' If we do this, then we reap rewards. Great peace have those who love your law and your words. Nothing can make them stumble." This promise is iterated in another proverb. I mean, in Proverbs 3. And that's it. Proverbs 3, 1 through 2. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." And even in Proverbs 3, 23, "Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." So these are proverbs that just go in unison here with this psalm we're reading, right? I'm going to back up and read it again. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and of years of life and peace, they will add to you." And later in that, back down to verse 23, "Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." So just like the psalm said, if you want peace and not to stumble, what do? We don't forget his teaching. We meditate on day and night. It's like Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night," right? So many of these scriptures come together, Old Testament, New Testament, many times to teach us glorious truths. So we see that the word of God will give us peace, add years to our lives, and keep us from stumbling. Another promise in his word is inheriting eternal salvation. It says in this psalm, "I hope for your salvation, O Lord," which motivates us to serve and obey him with our entire soul. So this isn't just loving his word, it's loving him, because he is the word, right? Jesus is the word. We talked about that. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And then verse 14 of that in John, it says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Beautiful, beautiful teachings, which motivates us to serve and obey him with our entire soul. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Remember when you say keep your testimonies, it's like the testimony is obviously somebody telling you the truth, right? This is what God tells us, the truth. It's a love letter. The Bible's a love letter to us. So our soul should just love that exceedingly, this proverb talks about, right? And keep your precepts and testimonies. If you follow them, you're going to stay on your path, right? And we know he loves us because all our ways are before him. We cannot hide anything from the Lord, since he sees all our ways. As emphasized here, another Psalm 139:3 says this. It says, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You have a loving God here who knows your path. He sees you when you're laying down. He's acquainted with all your ways. Not some of your ways. He's acquainted with all your ways. Therefore, even if we are being persecuted, that's how this chunk of scripture, this talk, starts out with. It starts out with being persecuted by these princes, right? Or you can just think of it as a government. You're being persecuted, right? So therefore, even if we are being persecuted, God is very aware of this, and we do not need to lose hope, but just focus on being in awe of his word. So then we end with just a prayer here. So pray this little small prayer with me. Father, my heart rejoices and is in awe of your word. I have great peace and will not stumble as I focus on praising you, loving you, and obeying your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. And you can see somebody who wants their mind the way God intended it to be. This could be a great little reading plan for them for a day, right? And understand the power of the peace, this great peace that this scripture talks about. And nothing will make you stumble. And that you can be in awe of God's word. And that peace makes your mind able to be the servant of God that you want to be. That's what this reading plans are all about. So I hope you join me in continuing to study this with me as we go forward. And the idea is that people that end up loving the Exodus product and get the prayer guide, they're eventually going to dig into the reading plan and really not only help their mind, body, and spirit be the way God wanted them to be, but get into the habit of reading the Bible. Big heart is this: get 1 million people reading the Bible. Again, that's going to be all at tryexodus.com. The reading plans will go up there. I think the first two are up now. This third one, obviously, I'm not done with yet, so we'll be putting that up shortly as well. So you can get to these reading plans at tryexodus.com. In order to have great peace and not stumble, as promised in verse 165, we need to be in awe and rejoice and love his word and his laws and his rules. We also should praise him for giving us his word. This type of reverence and gratefulness allows us the benefits of never stumbling and having great peace. Don't we want that? Don't you want your life to have never stumble and have great peace? And no matter what's going on in your life, this type of reverence and gratefulness allows us the benefits of never stumbling and having great peace.
Discover more with Rick at morewithrick.com.
As many of us feel prosecuted without cause, and some of this may even come from government institutions. But this song encourages us to change our mindset and declare, my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. And although we hate and abhor falsehoods, we can still say, I love your law. I love the word of God. I praise for your righteous rules and guidance. If we do this, then we reap rewards. Great peace have those who love your law and your words. Nothing can make them stumble.
Discover more with Rick at morewithrick.com.
And you can see somebody who wants their mind the way God intended it to be. This could be a great little reading plan for them for a day, right? And understand the power of the peace, this great peace that this scripture talks about. And nothing will make you stumble. And that you can be in awe of God's word. And that peace makes your mind able to be the servant of God that you want to be. That's what this reading plans are all about.
Discover more with Rick at More
With Your Health with the Power of Light. Introducing the future of natural healing. Backed by years of research and testimonials from health professionals, our quantum energy infrared light harnesses the scientifically proven benefits of red and infrared light therapy. Designed for those who value holistic health practices, our device offers a non-invasive, drug-free method to support your body's natural healing processes. Visit QEstrong.com now to discover how quantum energy can revolutionize your health routine. Experience deeper sleep, enhanced muscle recovery, reduced inflammation, and improved skin health, all with just a few minutes of use each day. Join the thousands who have already discovered the life-changing benefits of quantum energy.
Unlock the healing power of light. Visit QEstrong.com and enter code B2T at checkout to get your quantum energy infrared.
Twitter permanently suspending MyPillow CEO and Trump ally Mike Lindell.
A number of companies who have decided to stop selling MyPillow products.
And they're attacking not only MyPillow, many other companies out there, but they're attacking my vendors.
The CEO of MyPillow has been named in a $1.3 billion defamation suit.
MyPillow just sued Dominion for $1.6 billion. Divine appointments, divine intervention in there, and my faith is what kept me going all those years.
The bigger platform is my evangelism and speaking about God, having the same passion with God, giving to God as I do the pillow.
We have the B2T promo code for, and I was telling
the
him.
Biggest savings in history for my pillow, everybody. Use that code.
Yeah. Yes.
Welcome to this Sunday morning right before Christmas. Merry Christmas to those of you who love the Lord. Those of you who are actually exploring, you're welcome here as well. We're going to be digging into who is Jesus, so what a perfect time to join us if you've never joined us before. Right, who is Jesus? And we're not going to be me explaining in detail. We're going to be looking just at the scripture. That will clearly show us what's Christmas all about. And who is Jesus, right? And so hope you enjoy us in this format called Word and Worship, where we pray, where we praise and worship the Lord with music. We have actually a debut of a brand new song we'll be playing here shortly in the middle of the service. I think I will start with it before I think about it. I'm going to flip that around, and we'll start with this brand new debut song after I pray. It's a Christmas song, but it's something that can be done year-round that I love. And so that's, since we invest in this music, I like stuff that can be done year-round as well as represent Christmas. So we just got this new song done. But let me lift us up to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everyone's coming here and listening to this this broadcast, Lord, whether it's recorded or it's live here. Lord, we pray your presence falls on us and as we are just worshiping and praising you. And Lord, for those who are seeking, we just ask that they understand better after looking at all your Word of God, the scriptures of who Jesus really is and why he came here on earth as a baby. Lord, allow us that Holy Spirit and the Word of God to just penetrate into our soul and divide between our spirit and soul and go to the joints of marrow. And actually, like Hebrews 4:12 says your word is living and active, sharper than the two-edged sword, piercing between the spirit and the soul, of joints and of marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Lord, may the Word of God do that to us, that we just learn through the Holy Spirit. We learn from the Word of God. And give me the words to say, get me out of the way. Lord, we love you. We present our lives to you. We present this ministry to you. We love you. And we're the clay, you're the potter. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. All right, with that, we're going to move into our debut of a brand new song. Right, and this is one that I'm sure many people have heard before. I remember the first time I heard this, though. It just gripped me because I was not a believer until later in my life, and I was like 29 years old. I accepted Christ for the first time. When I heard this, it just gripped me because I was going, oh wow, what did Mary know? Right? That's what I was trying to figure out. And the song, if you just put everything else away and just focus on the lyrics of the song, it's quite amazing. And the videographer did a fantastic job putting a different than anybody's ever seen video associated with it. So let's enjoy and worship to Mary, Did You Know? And if Annette wouldn't mind reading this, that would be awesome. And again, this is the debut of this brand new song.
Yes. What a blessing to be here. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Matthew 14:26-27. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God, that your baby boy is the Lord of all creations. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. I and the Father are one. John 10:29-30. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. John 1:3. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame and the dumb will leap and speak, and the dead will live again. The praises of the Lamb. He was crushed for our iniquities, and with his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet with linen stripes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." John 11:39-44.
Beautiful. Let's worship together to Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Child, you're holding.
Father are one. And that beautifully done. Kind of a unique view. I wasn't expecting. She just does some very unique things sometimes. And a very anointed videographer. And that's Mary, did you know? And that's what we're going to dig into is that, did she know about this? Right? Who is this baby Jesus? Who is Jesus? And that's what we're going to be digging into, just going in quite a few scriptures to just learn from what the Word of God says versus what some other people are saying, right? So let's dig into the. Remember, we learned in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for refuting and correcting, and it's all profitable. Right, it's all there. So it's God breathed. So we're gonna be looking at the God breathed Word of God this morning. Okay, so let's dig into this. This is Matthew 1:23. I start with, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." So Emmanuel. So literally, God coming in flesh down here is what this is all about. And to prove it. Part of it was Mary was never a virgin, right? So she was the mother of Jesus and the mother born of a man, right? So God was the Father, truly the God of the universe. Pretty amazing when you think about that. So just think about the songs that talk about Emmanuel. And remember, that's always God is with us. God with us. And so God, and some people say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, yeah, there's all kinds of scriptures, by the way, that talk about him accepting worship. Only Jesus can do that, right? He also forgave sins. He said, your sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins, right? That's why they decided to stone him, because they said that you're claiming you're God. And so it was, yes, he was, right? He also told in John 8:58-59, he said, truly, truly, I tell you. So Jesus is serious. He's telling them truly, truly. He's emphasizing. And he says, before Abraham, I am. The great I am. From Exodus 3:14. So there's no doubt who Jesus claimed to be. And this verse right here, where the angel's talking to Mary. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So just that scripture alone tells you really who Jesus is. But it's emphasized and emphasized and emphasized. Here's John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth." I love talking about John 1:14, going all the way back to John 1:1, which says, "In the beginning is the Word, and the Word and the Word became flesh." Or not, I'm sorry. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right. So it's talking about this Word, and then here clearly the Word became flesh. It's talking about Jesus, Emmanuel, right? "And he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth." So there's two huge proofs that this is the Word of becoming flesh. This is Jesus. And when you know that he did claim to be God by accepting worship, by saying, before Abraham I am, before forgiving sins, all the other false teachings of Jesus just kind of come to light. That's why, you know, a counterfeiter, I'm going to go to this other view for just a second. When you look at a counterfeiter, and the experts will actually just be an expert on the dollar, if you will, right? Usually the $100 bill, because that's usually what's counterfeited. And they know it so well that anything that is a counterfeit, they know, they can see, right? So they just know that counterfeiter so well. And that's exactly how we can know who Jesus is and Jesus is not, right? Is by understanding what the Word of God says, not what other people are saying about him, what he says. So he clearly says, "I am God," by accepting worship, saying, "Before Abraham, I was." That way, all these teachings get exposed. All false teaching. If you just understand the scriptures I'm showing you today, and meditate on them and understand them, you'll see all the false teachings become. Like, for instance, Islam teaches that Jesus was just a prophet and wasn't the Son of God. That's completely a false religion. It's teaching an incorrect Jesus, right? We have to. So one thing I love to emphasize is we can come together with Christians with all these different beliefs on some minor doctrines like baptism and predestination and all these different, you know, pre-rapture, post-rapture, is there a rapture, right? All these type of things. But what we can't compromise on is what saves people. And that is the right God, the right Jesus, and the right gospel. So anybody who's confused is Islam, that they do believe Jesus and honor Jesus as a prophet, but they teach an incorrect Jesus. They don't teach he is the Son of God. They don't teach he's God in flesh. They don't teach he's the Word of God. He's very creation. He's never been created. All prophets have been created, right? Jesus was not created. And we'll get into that as well. Remember, when the Father spoke, let there be light, the Spirit was around, and the Word was Jesus. The Father used Jesus to create everything. And we'll get into a little bit of that. So there's massive false teachings and false Jesuses. There's false teachings on God, there's false teachings on Jesus, and there's false teachings on the gospel. You can end it all real easily by just understanding these simple Christmas scriptures, right? And that's what we're getting into right now. And so those first two, again, Matthew talking about a virgin being born, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. So we know God is with us. We know he accepted worship. We know he forgave sins. We know he said, before Abraham, I am. And then we see this second scripture here where the Word became flesh. This good was with God and he was God. That's the Trinity. It's clearly teaching who the correct God is, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who created everything. And then you see the correct Jesus is God in flesh. And the correct gospel is very clear. It's a free gift from the Lord, right? As we continue in the scriptures, you'll see just the whole salvation story and the right God, right Jesus, right gospel is all taught in these Christmas scriptures. And Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Right, and we know he's a Savior. That's another important point, because the gospel's all about this free gift of salvation. And you know, we've spent a lot of time going through all the books of Romans, where Romans 3:23 and the whole salvation that we just taught a 7-day series on, which you can find at tryexus.com, by the way. Go to the prayer guide, go to the reading plans, you can go find this whole salvation reading plan. But for unto you is born this day, to us, this is a gift, in the city of David, which is, you know, later it's Bethlehem, right? A Savior. And it's the Christ. You know, Christ is who the Messiah. Right? You got a Greek version of Christ and the Hebrew version of Messiah. It's the same thing that comes across. This is who they're waiting for. Unfortunately, they were rejected by his own. We look at Matthew 2:10-11. You see, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that comes back to a lot of what we're doing with TryExodus.com is all about. Frankincense and myrrh is in the biblical supplement, right? We're kind of going back to biblical ingredients and trying to offer the gifts. And even cumin is a gold color. So I call it my Jesus supplement, right? But it's part of what we're getting a million people to read the Bible that haven't done that before. And again, this is what God, obviously the Father, had the star up there. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So the wise men, right? And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother, and they fell down to worship him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Obviously part of the huge part of this Christmas story to understand how honored they were, and that even heavenly signs were there to prove that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, and he was given to us, as we just talked about. Now this is Galatians 4:4-5. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born of the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And this is pretty critical, right? Because we need to be adopted into his family, because we are sinful creatures. Romans 3:20 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 just starts with the wages of sin is death. So we need to be adopted into his family in order to be saved, right? And how do we do that? We accept Jesus as our Savior. And that is that's a simple gospel story that everybody tries to corrupt. If you're Satan, I wanted to ask you a question about that. And there's a simple, true gospel. We talked about the true God being the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We talked about the true Jesus, who is God in flesh, right? And the Word, he's the Word of God. And we talk about the true gospel. It's really critical to understand that's a free gift, and that this free gift is when we are adopted as sons, right? We are adopted as sons and daughters to his kingdom. And that is a free gift. And if you're Satan, what would you do? You want that simple message that this you set this free gift of salvation, for your sins are forgiven. They become as white as snow. They're red like crimson. They become like wool. What a simple message. What a beautiful message. That all my sins can be forgiven, past, present, and future, by accepting Jesus as my Savior. That if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in my heart that Jesus raised from the dead, you will be saved, as Romans 10:9 says. And that simple message, if I'm saying what I'm going to say, no! Teach them that you have to give a certain percentage to you this, or I have to pray this many times to that, or I have to go to church this many times, or I have to pray to Mecca this many times, or I have to do this and this and this and this, and I have to obey all 613 laws in the Old Testament and have do. What are those called? All those things are works. That's what Satan does. He tries to confuse you. When it's simple, no, it's a free gift. A free gift comes to you, and you're redeemed. You're forgiven. And that's what these Christmas scriptures just clearly teach. And the fullness of time had come, so we go into the time of Gentiles. God sent forth his son, born of woman, born of the law. So instead of the law anymore, all these works, all these things you have to do, the 613 laws and everything that they added to it, and people add to it all the time, and that is called legalism and works. No! He redeems those who are under law so that we might receive adoption to sons. It's all about that free gift. And we look at here, Philippians 2, 6, and 7 says, who thought he was in the form of God? Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Now, this is a crazy thing if you think that. If you're in heaven, your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you've always existed. That's part of the thing that is eternal. You know, he's the beginning and the end. The beginning means he was there before everything. He's always existed. And he's not a created being, right? He decided to come on earth to be a human, right? That being born of a servant, he came here not to serve, but to serve. So, that is a big sacrifice, obviously, especially when you know you're going to die a cruel, horrible death, have to experience all the temptations that we as humans. That's how much he loves us. Right? Big, important part. So even though he was equal with the Father, right, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he emptied himself for you. For every one of you. Beautiful, beautiful. Hebrews 1:1-2 talks a little about this too. Talking about the supremacy of God's Son. Because long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. This is the Jesus. This is the true Jesus versus all the false Jesuses out there. He's way more than a prophet. He's the Word of God. So when Father said, "Let there be light," the Word he's speaking is Jesus. So that's why it said he created the world. He's the heir of all things. This is not some created being that's the brother of Satan or something like the Mormonism teaches. That's complete falsity. This is the one true God. It's always existed. There will be none like him, like Isaiah 43 says. He wants you to know and believe and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, nor will there be any after me. So I'm sorry, but what Mormonism teaches, you can become a god. That is complete polytheism. It's the doctrines of devils. We got to get off of those. They're not just another Christian sect. Beautiful Mormon people, we love you. We want you to come into the truth of the true Jesus, the true God, and the true gospel. Teaching that God was once a man and had to earn his way to become a god, and of one of many. You can be spirit children of all different worlds, we need to teach truth here, guys. And that Jesus is the brother of Satan. That's what Mormonism teaches. As man is, man may become, as God is, man was. Saying that God was once a man, Elohim, who actually earned his way to heaven. That's completely false. And that both Jesus and Satan are brothers of Elohim. It's just a complete lie. And that you can become, as God is, man was, and man may become. Almost every Mormon knows that statement. And that's basically saying man can become gods. That's the lie of Satan that told that in the garden. Right? So I'm just telling you, we've got to understand who the true Jesus is. The true Jesus created the world. He was never created himself. He created all things. He's the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. This is the God-breathed scripture that 2 Timothy talks about. 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching and correcting and rebuking. So understand what the Word of God says. The Word of God clearly does not teach the Mormon false Jesus. It doesn't teach a Muslim false Jesus. It doesn't teach the Jehovah's Witness false Jesus. That's why we call them Christian cults, because they teach the wrong Jesus. And that's what Satan wants to do. He doesn't want you to have the right Jesus and the right gospel, because then you go to heaven. And what Satan's goal is to deceive. Many, many, many religions are out there teaching false doctrine. And we have to teach the right Jesus, the right gospel, the right. And these simple Christmas scriptures do just that. Very clear. There's no doubt. Again, this is that's Hebrews 1:1-2. Clearly teaching us that the Word of God created all things, with the Father saying it. The Spirit was around the waters. That's way back in Genesis 1:1. And he was the heir, he's the heir of all things. He is not a created being. He's not just a prophet. And he definitely is not the brother of Satan. Right? Can we all agree with that? Okay. Let's go to this. This is 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is beautiful, guys. The fact that this propitiation of our sins, if you look at propitiation, it's like atonement. It's like satisfied. So the debt that you personally have because of your sin, everybody's sinned. Romans 3:23 told us that, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. So that means what's going to happen to you when you die if you don't have a Savior? You're going that way. Not in heaven. Nobody deserves it. But it's the mercy and grace of God to give us the propitiation for our sins. We just have to accept that free gift. It's his love. If you want to know what God's love really is, it's not accepting everybody in their sinful life and saying, yes, I want to send this free gift to you so that I can allow you in heaven. And this free gift is our Savior, and it's a propitiation for all our sins, past, present, future. Make sure that blood of Christ is covering you. Don't let all these false doctrines lead you astray. This isn't about doing things. Remember, once you're saved and you love the Lord and you have the Holy Spirit come into you, then you can do things for God. You can't do things for God without the Holy Spirit. You first need that. beautiful Christmas scriptures. Here's Luke 1, 46 and 47. This is Mary's song of praise. And it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. This is much longer, but you can just see this is what we should be doing, right? Do what Mary did. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's, we have a song that's called Magnify, right? And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That's beautiful. So let's just let's go into a little bit more music, and we'll come back to some more Christmas scriptures. This is Here I Am to Worship. And I'll read this one. This is Light of the World. You step down into darkness. Isn't that right? And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. That's the true Jesus. He's the light of the world. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. So remember when Thomas saw, he was doubting Thomas, but then he saw him. He said, my Lord and my God. Jesus didn't correct him. He called him God. He's God in flesh. That's John 20:20-28. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. The God is the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost created everything. They've always existed. That's out of Revelation 4:11. Fourth part of this song says, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. The whole reason he came. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We were just talking about that. And to give his life for a ransom for many. That's Mark 10:45. This is the true Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. This is the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is the true gospel that he came not to be served, but to serve. And to give us this free gift so that we can all say, my Lord and my God. Worship moving to Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether so high.
Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This next one is, there is power in that. Would you do this?
Absolutely. There is power in the name of Jesus. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Luke 10:19. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Matthew 18:20. For all who have come who run to him in faith, he is there. No fear, no lie can stand against us now. He is here. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. James 1:6. The word has come to silence every doubt. He is here. One name, always only one name, Jesus can save. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:1. One name breaks every chain. One name remains. One name we will proclaim. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:29-30.
Amen. This is the power of that true Jesus. This is why he came. This is who he is. God giving us power. Let's worship him.
Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. There is power
nothing shall hurt you. Hold on. That's a power he gives us, yes. All right. We're going to continue into just looking into Christmas scriptures that really clearly say who Jesus is. Right? And we just talked about here is what Mary's saying. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." He's our Savior. Even Mary knew, based upon this, and that song we just sang earlier about Mary, did you know? She clearly did know that that baby that she bore was going to actually be her deliverer, right? Because it says it right here. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And here is Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Right? Clearly, why did Jesus come? He came to save us from our sins. If Jesus was not born, we were still under the law. We had to do all 613 things and had to sacrifice all these blood of the goats. Now it's the blood of Jesus versus the blood of goats, and he lives eternally. And that was a one-time sacrifice. That's a beautiful thing. And this clearly says this, right? She bared the son, who's Emmanuel, God with us. His name will be Jesus. He's got many names. We have one song of What a Beautiful Name. It has all the names of Jesus, right? And it's very amazing, representing this very thing. For he will save his people from their sins. Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? How important is that? Isaiah 7:14, all the way back in the Old Testament, said there. This is talking about one of the many, many prophecies about Jesus that he would come. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this was all the way back in the Old Testament when it said, you're going to be having a son from a virgin, and that it's going to be God with us, the name God with us. And you saw that the New Testament actually spells it out, where the writer, I think it was Luke, right, actually said, which means God with us. And you can see right here, Emmanuel means God is with us, right there in the footnote. So there's no question that he was God in flesh. Any religion or teacher that teaches that he was not God in flesh, and there's many of them out there, they're teaching the wrong Jesus. That's why we have to really hold the line on that. I talk about this whole where we go one, we go all movement. We can still lock arms, brother, for the freedom of religion with people that have the wrong God, wrong Jesus, and wrong gospel, right? As long as we're fighting against this cabal of evil that are satanic Luciferians, right? That makes sense, because we're fighting. We need freedom of religion. But when it comes to teaching the truth, we at least have to stick with the right God, the right Jesus, and the right gospel. And that's what these Christmas scriptures do so well. All the way back in Micah, again in the Old Testament, 5:2, it says, but you, O Bethlehem, it's Ephrathah, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, and you shall come forth for me, one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So this is even the Pharisees and the Sadducees who rejected Jesus knew that the birthplace needed to be Bethlehem. And since Jesus grew up in Nazareth, this caused a problem, because they didn't take the time to think for themselves and research. They just rejected it because they didn't like their loss of power. It was really scary what happened. But clearly, if you go back and you see the story of how horrible even Herod was, trying to kill everybody that was in there in Bethlehem that were 2 years younger after they'd already escaped to Egypt. But clearly, we have a documented story from multiple sources that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know, in the stable. And Micah predicted that hundreds of years before Christ. And I think there's over 300 prophetic words that point toward Christ. You just take the top 15 or 20, it's amazing to go study that. And you'll be completely convinced that there's no mathematical possibility that this literally was God in flesh that came to us here on earth. because of the love he has for you, for the propitiation of your sins. All right? John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses, but 17 kind of adds power to it. This is Jesus speaking when he's talking to Nicodemus, right, one of the leaders of the Jewish world, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Clearly, he doesn't want you to perish. In fact, 1 Timothy 2:3-4 talks about that God, our Savior, that wants all people to be saved, desires all people to be saved. I think it's the word that's used there, and come to the knowledge of the truth. He sent his Son for that very purpose, a free gift. Doesn't want you to perish. And why did he do it? So the world might be saved through him. Again, it has to be an individual choice. This is a person, it has to be a personal relationship with the Savior. So you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, like Romans 10:9 talks about. Very important. But clearly we're seeing these Christmas scriptures just clearly show us who he is. It says, and this is Colossians 1:15-20. And so, again, this is about the preeminence of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Again, there it is. Just showing again that any theology that teaches you that God, that Jesus was created, obviously is false. Right? Because for by him all things were created because of the Word of God. He's the Word of God. Let there be light. That was just Jesus coming out of the mouth of the Father. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Can you get any more obvious? Okay, we saw other scriptures that talk about this. This is God-breathed scripture, remember. And he is before all things. Why? Because he always has existed. And in him all things hold together. That's only the Creator. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Is that not powerful? I'm going to read this whole thing real quickly just so you get the whole feel of this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That is a powerful scripture right there in Colossians 1:15-20, clearly saying who the true Jesus is. Clearly teaching that he is the Word, and that he came to do what? To give us peace through the blood of the cross. That's what it's all about, because that blood on the cross is the propitiation for your sins. It covers your sins. So I talk about the blood actually washes your sins away. I love Isaiah 1:18. You know, it digs into just that. Though your sins were like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. That is the beautiful part of what his blood covers. 2 Corinthians 9:14 says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." It's very clear. I mean, Ephesians 2:8-9, I always talk about that. This is grace and mercy, guys. It's free. It's a free gift. This is also talked about here in 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That gift is Jesus coming here and dying on the cross for your sins. What a beautiful story. The gospel story. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. We're celebrating that. A lot of people talk about don't celebrate Christmas because it's a pagan holiday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But remember, he actually replaced this Catholic priest at power back then. Actually replaced a sacrifice of children pagan holiday with the celebrating the birth of Christ. At least that's a positive thing, is it not? So whether he was born in March or he was born in December, we can celebrate him, okay? So Merry Christmas and celebrate him, in my opinion. But understand who he is, most importantly, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, right? These scriptures clearly teach why he came, who he is, and who is his Father, who is the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, and how he is the propitiation of our sins. Very important. Here's Jesus himself talking in John 8:12. And again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We just sang about that. We'll have the light of life. Jesus' own words are in red letters, those of you that are on audio. You know, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you want to walk in darkness? That's what you're doing if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, because you don't have the Holy Spirit. But if you accept that free gift to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I accept Jesus as my Savior. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Scripture says, I will be saved. This God-breathed scripture says that's all I need to do, is to believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, understanding that he's the Lord. That's how you're saved. That's how you walk in light. That's how you become the light of life. You want the light of life, or do you want to walk in darkness? Clearly, that's why he came. And that's who he is. When we talk about propitiation, and some of the things it talks about here is that which propitiates or appeases, that which furnishes a reason for not executing a punishment justly due for wrongdoing. So we're all justly due judgment. And specifically in the New Testament, Christ himself became his life and death furnish a ground for the forgiveness of sins. That's what propitiation is all about, guys. Isn't that exciting? Again, it's atonement, it's reconciliation, it's propitiation, it's satisfaction of our debt. I love it. This is a beautiful thing. And I'm just going to give everybody one more chance, if you've never accepted Christ, to do that now. And also for those of you who have, just focus on him this Christmas season. Don't let all the hustle and bustle of those of you who are alone, just remember you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you've accepted it. So let's do that first. Really quickly, I love the Romans Road 4 verses. I just like to talk about those all the time because they're so simple, right? You just say in Romans 3:23, you say, Lord, I'm sinful. Even Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Say this after me. I'm sinful. And the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. So Lord, I know I need a Savior. Or Romans 5:8 says, you love me. It says, God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me. Thank you. I accept him as a Savior. And as Romans 10:9 says, that if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I do that right now. Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God-breathed scripture tells me I'll be saved by just accepting that free gift. Believe it in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I do that now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. For those of you who already accepted Jesus, pray after me. Lord, help me just remember you at Christmas time. Thank you for all these Christmas scriptures that clearly teach who you are. Thank you for Emmanuel coming to the earth for us. God is with us. Thank you. And this living Christ is raised from the dead and is living now. He actually lives in me through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. thank you. May I dwell in that. And may I be bold enough to use my authority in Christ during these perilous times. These are going to be, as many would say, glory days, not gloomy days. We're going to see the glory of you shine. Let that light shine in me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. All right, now we're going to get into some other beautiful songs. And what we're looking at is, I'm gonna do two songs. So if you really want to affect people's life, what you do is you speak Jesus. I'm not going to have anybody talk to the, tonight. Sorry, this morning. Sorry about that, Teresa, but we're going to just worship him. These last two songs will wrap up. And so we're going to do Speak Jesus. Then we're going to do Mary, Did You Know one last time, because I know a lot of people came later in the service. And it's a brand new song. So we'll just kind of we'll relish in that. But the first thing we're going to do is, this is what we need to be doing, is speaking Jesus over everyone, right? So I speak Jesus. And it says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. It's right there, right? What we just prayed. Declaring there is hope and freedom. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. 1 Peter 3:1-3. And for freedom, Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. Behold, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. We're talking about the authority in Christ right there, right? That's what we just prayed as well. Luke 10:19. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. This song also talks about you break every stronghold and burn like fire. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. That's what we're called to do right now, guys. Enjoy this Christmas, but understand that we're in a spiritual battle right now, and you can destroy strongholds. Go to the Lord and figure out what strongholds he wants you. That's your path. That's your calling. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4 that talks about that. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. So on this Christmas, may he just live through you. Because his name is power and healing and life. And we can declare hope and freedom for the world and speak Jesus over everyone. Let's worship.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Strong hope, shine through the shadows.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every.
According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. That's the hope of Christmas that gives us. We're going to go into Mary, Did You Know again. I'm going to quickly go over the scripture since we already went over all these. But Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? But when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." That's Matthew 14, 26 and 27, when he walked on water. And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God, that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation. And that's talked about in John 10, 29 through 30. It says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and I, the Father, are one. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made." John 1:3, very clear, right? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame and dumb will leap and speak, and the dead will live again. The praises of the Lamb. He was crushed for iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. What beautiful promises out of Isaiah 53:5. Then we see where John 11, 39 through 44, where he raised Lazarus. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." The man who was died came out, his hands and feet with linen straps and his wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." He wants to let us all go. He wants to let us all wrap, take all the sin away from us and unwrap and come out. Celebrating the life of Jesus. Let's pray now. Praise him.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you this child that you've delivered will did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Joining us here. I wanted to make sure that everyone knows how you can be more involved in the ministry. It's pretty simple. Just go to the website, blessedteach.com, and download our app. You'll be able to see an app on the tab there. So you can actually have it on. And it's really a cool app because it's updated 3 or 4 times a day. So we've got all the clips of the teachings, clips of the Word, Rick's Alone Time with God blog. And we also have all kinds of equipping and free training to actually hear how to hear from God better from beautiful people such as Amanda Grace and Manny Johnson and Nathan French and many more, Prophet Timothy Dixon. How do they hear from God, and what do they suggest how you can hear from God better? That's the equipping tab. It's also an Impactor for Truth course there. It's like a discipleship course about growing and understanding the reliability of the Bible and what your calling is and get into your spiritual gifts. So that's called Impactor for Truth. So all that's available, and probably the most important way that you can get involved is downloading the other app that we have, or just go to neighborhood.social, and that is a Facebook replacement where we actually chat with each other without the censorship, and we're able to actually have these groups, and these groups meet throughout the week, right? So just go to neighborhood.social and go to the groups tab. And in that groups tab, you will be able to connect and meet almost every day of the week. I believe every day of the week we have 8 different groups that meet outside of the time besides being backstage here with us, right, when we're worshiping. We'd love to have you come backstage, blessedteach.com. As you can sign for show notes on the first page, you can go to the backstage and actually get a Zoom link to come backstage with us when we're live on the show. That's fun, too. So all that's available in one place, blessedteach.com. You download all the apps from there, get the free training, be able to get join backstage, everything as far as this ministry goes. We'd also really appreciate any year-end donations as we're pulling plans to tack 3 mountains of influence, not only the religious mountain, making sure that we're teaching truth and spreading the gospel everywhere, but we also have an inner healing deliverance ministry, right, to really help people with their with being delivered and set free from the captives, have Jesus come heal wounds from the past, right? That, so that's all that's the religious mountain. But we're also attacking the media mountain as we speak truth Monday through Friday with truth and news, the beginning segments. to counteract the Mockingbird media. And then we're also doing a 24/7 channel of multiple beautiful content providers to give content you can trust in a 24/7 channel that launches in January. We're excited about that. But all that takes funding. We really appreciate people becoming partners by just going to the donations tab on that same website, blessedtoteach.com. Remember, it's with a two, blessed with the blessed to teach two. I'm just going to try to see if I can put that lower third up there where you can see blessedtoteach.com right there and neighborhood.social. Obviously, when we're live, it's either backstage here on Zoom or the Rumble channel, right? That's how you get involved here. But let me end with a prayer and say thank you guys for coming. So have a Merry Christmas. Even if you're alone, remember, you have the Holy Spirit, right? You have Jesus with you at all times. So enjoy His presence. Be in the Word. Come back and listen to some of this beautiful music and some of our, I think we have over, we just finished number 51. I think Mary, did you know, it was fifth song 51, right? So you can go back through our Word Worships, which is on Fridays and Sundays, and our Praise and Prayers on Mondays and Thursdays. You can go back to the Rumble channel and just soak in that music, and the presence of the Lord will be with you. So let me pray as we wrap up the service, and thank you so much again for joining us. Heavenly Father, I just lift up everyone that's listening to my voice right now. Will you bless them? Just bless them this Christmas season, no matter what their circumstance. Lord, I just ask that your presence will be felt. They'll understand who you are better than ever. And you will live through them. May others see Jesus through them. We thank you for everybody that's accepted Christ through this program. Lord, just make them new. They're a new creation. Allow them to just glorify you with their lives as you bless them. You're the Jehovah Jireh. You're their provider. You're the Jehovah Rapha. You heal them. You're Jehovah Nisa. You're our banner. Lord, you are our Savior. And we thank you for that on this Christmas season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we are going to be bold in our faith and use our authority in Christ to win these spiritual battles, because the best is yet to come. We love you. We submit ourselves to you as clay. You're the potter. And we say these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful Christmas. If I don't see you before then, we will be having our show Monday through Friday. Much of those will be some recordings, but I think you'll really enjoy those. But we'll be back live after Christmas and be able to do some more praise and prayer and Word and worship as we continue fighting these battles and winning back the remnant, taking back those mountains of influence that we're hitting, the arts and entertainment mountain, the mountain of media, and the mountain of religion. We love you all. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Constantly exhausted and stressed? Introducing Exodus, the biblical supplement with 7 divine ingredients for real wellness. Featuring organic barley grass, wheatgrass, aloe, saffron, cumin, frankincense, and myrrh. Plus a mineral blend that generates healing molecular hydrogen. Experience more energy, less inflammation, and enhanced performance. Exodus is your path to total rejuvenation. Try risk-free with our 60-day guarantee.
Exit the old you at TryExodus.com.